In the barony of Castakin, evil is rising. Creatures born of mud, stone, and bone have appeared. Politics keep the powers that be from taking action against this threat. The barony needs heroes. In the far-off hamlet of Hovel's Way, two childhood friends, bound by dreaming stars, may be the heroes that the barony needs. This is their story. The story of the heroes of Hovel's Way. Odine Dahlia Celestine is played by Angela Murray.
Don't get yourself in trouble, but let me know if you see anything suspicious where some bad people might be hanging out.
Aramon Durant is played by Jared Rasher.
I just want to jump over and then maybe pry the window open.
You want to jump onto the roof, which would make a bunch of noise anyway.
Yeah.
And the dungeon master is Chris Snezak.
There is somebody tied to a chair that's bleeding.
Odie is breaking off a chunk of the muffin and hands it to her backpack for Monty to have some.
He's like, who the hell are you? Who cares? Kill him!
I'm here to bring you to justice.
I am here to bring you to justice as a crossbow slams into your chest.
Now, we begin.
We can deal with the Black Blades. Do we know where they've been seen?
No, you'll have to look into it. They're around here, though. Supposedly their base is somewhere in Crossing.
Like in the town?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You are going to engage in a bit of an investigation to figure out where these bandits are working out of. Your goal is to mosey around town, find clues, and then eventually figure out where the base is, and then assault it. Or get some help and assault it. Your choice, really.
Okay.
There is that third option that you could all take if you wanted to, which you just don't tell the Baroness, or did you go check out the island? The new island that nobody's gone to yet.
Odie might do that, but Aramon is a good boy, and he's been told to do a thing.
Is Aramon a good boy?
In this instance, yeah. It is not healthy, but he has this fixed in his mind that he needs to prove to people that he can do this now.
Because Robin is like, I'm down with going after these laggards, but I would also like to go see what's up with that island.
Well, maybe if we can find them quick enough, we can do both.
Mm-hmm.
If we were given the night to sleep before having to do investigation, Odie would have tasked Monty with doing some exploring around town. Don't get yourself in trouble, but let me know if you see anything suspicious where some bad people might be hanging out.
Give me an investigation check for Monty.
It is not a 10, but can I use some of my luck?
Yes. We're using the luck mechanic instead of the inspiration mechanic, which the luck mechanic is you get points for if you miss attack rolls or saving throws. And if you have any luck, you can spend them one for one to give yourself pluses. And if you have three of them, you can reroll.
It says I have three luck points.
Yes, then you could totally reroll.
But if I only needed to add one to get to a 10.
Yeah, you could just spend the one. That's fine. So you still have two left. Monty goes out at night. He comes back a couple hours later. Like, I don't know if there's anything weird going on, like any of that sketchy stuff that you're talking about in town. But there's some people talking about this guy named Theodore Crawford. He's a local priest.
Mm-hmm.
They say he's like a priest of the monarch. He's been spending a lot of time with this woman named Haley Stewart, but it seems like it's not a weird thing or a scandalous thing or something. I heard that word scandal. I'm not really sure what it means. What's scandal mean?
Scandal means he's doing something that people think is bad.
I guess he's, like, shacking up with her or something, and he's not supposed to.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Well, you do, because you're a book-learned person, right?
Wait, right. She understands the whole concept of priests aren't supposed to do it, but she doesn't get why, because that's dumb.
Yeah, in this case, the monarch priests, they're supposed to be chaste for a decade, and then after that, they can do whatever they want. But it's to dedicate their service to the monarch for that first decade. So you're guessing that Theodore hasn't been a priest for over a decade yet.
Gotcha.
That's what I heard. I don't know about the sketchiness with the other people, though.
No people hanging out in a basement somewhere?
No, I didn't see anybody.
Okay.
I mean, I did, but they were just talking, like playing cards.
In a basement?
There was like lights and stuff you could see in the basement window. It didn't seem like untoward or anything like that. I don't know. They were playing cards.
Yeah, but
it was a nice basement. Like if it was finished.
Go in and raid a poker game.
Maybe I can show you where it was if you want.
Yeah, show me where it was.
Monty takes you to this building. It's in the town near the end of one of the roads. points at it. There are like four people down there playing cards. There's a lantern on the table, a couple of bottles of booze.
No sign of funky daggers or anything like that.
No, they just look at people playing cards.
I mean, it is a little sketchy to be playing cards in the basement when you've got a perfectly good first floor.
Yeah, it's a nice basement. It's like been finished. Really nice table. Looks like it's four playing cards.
I will leave them be.
The next morning, you're sitting at breakfast. Odie, I'll say that you're probably down there first. Maybe Aramon is outside doing his morning routine of training. And you're sitting there with Emma. And Emma's slurping some porridge across from you. She looks up and she says, I would really like to be as strong and confident as Robin someday.
Well, you probably can be. I mean, it's not like that happened to Robin instantly.
I mean, she was always pretty confident and strong.
So are you.
Oh, that's so sweet of you to say. She like flips her hair behind her ear and she looks like her sister for a second.
I mean, you've been really good with Aramon and him trying to, you know, be older than you, even though he's not. You just need time and experience, like Robin.
Well, Aramon's just oblivious most of the time, that's all. He's such a doofus, in like the best way possible.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
He just, the world is a specific way, and sometimes it takes him a while to see when it's not the specific way.
Oh, you sound like Noelle.
I mean, I grew up with her.
Is that what you really think, or are you just parroting her?
I mean, it makes sense.
I mean, I wonder, is the world really a specific way?
Well, no, I mean, the world is a lot of different ways. I'm just saying that Aramon sees it as a specific way.
Oh, I see.
And when it's not, it takes him a while to see that it's different than he believes.
It seems to really upset him when he sees things differently, though. Like, his whole world gets shattered and he just kind of, like, falls apart for a second.
I mean, we all have our things like that.
He seemed pretty broken up about killing that person. You didn't. I didn't either.
No, you scared me a little.
I was a bad guy. Bad guys, he was being harmful to the kingdom.
How do you know he was a bad guy?
I mean, he was trying to kill us.
Right, which means we defend ourselves.
Yes.
But maybe he was told we were the bad guys.
I mean, he was a bandit.
Right.
Which means he probably killed other people and took other people's money before that.
But I'm saying you don't just get to kill anyone that you think is a bad guy.
Well, of course we don't just get to kill anyone that we think is a bad guy. We have to do it for the right reasons.
And you have to give him a chance to surrender. You don't want to be bloodthirsty.
I don't know. I think maybe some people don't deserve a chance to surrender.
Yeah, but you don't get to decide that for everyone just because they're with a particular group of people.
Well, I said some.
You just got to be careful.
I saw that Max checked them all to see if they were all still alive. I bet we would have kept them alive if they were. They probably could have been useful at that point.
Probably.
But they would have just died anyway. We would have just hung them.
Maybe.
Isn't banditry like a death sentence?
Should it be? I mean, I'm not talking about these Blackblade guys, but aren't most bandits just stealing because they don't have enough food on their table for their family?
Are they?
Depends on the bandit, but you're not going to know.
Where did you read that?
What do you mean, where did I read that? And she'll start naming about six different books that have talked about banditry and justice in the barony.
Huh. Okay. I guess. It's confusing.
It is confusing. So that's why I don't necessarily agree with the way the laws are written, that every bandit must hang.
Why do you think it's like that?
It's easier sometimes for the people in power.
I don't think the Baroness does things because they're easy.
No, I'm not saying her specifically. I just mean in general.
I'll have to think about it. You're pretty smart. She goes back to eating her porridge.
About some things. I'm usually really, really bad about talking to people.
You do poor girl here when she's got a mouthful of porridge.
What is the weather like today?
It's a little overcast. It might rain.
Is it a decent temperature out?
It is a moderately tempered day where you are comfortable being outside.
Aramon, when he is out there doing his sword katas and everything, and this is full Hemsworth. He's got the shirt off, not even thinking about it.
As you're doing that, you eventually attract a crowd of admirers. Eventually, Robin is out there, and she looks at you, and she's just shaking her head. She walks over as you're doing your sword katas. She's like, put on a shirt.
But I was getting really warm because...
Look around.
I will look at them and smile and wave to all of them. Good morning!
Some of them swoon a little bit.
Lovely day this morning, isn't it?
Are you that oblivious?
No, I'm not oblivious. There's people around. I know that.
They're here staring at you because you have your shirt off and you're, like, ripped.
Lots of people look like this.
No, they don't.
He's like pulling his shirt on as he's saying that.
A bunch of girls go, aw.
I have to believe there's got to be a lot of people that look like this.
No, there's not. You think Conklin looks like that? Max doesn't even look like that.
Well, I mean, there's a very important interplay between diet and using your proper forms and how long you actually exercise certain muscle groups. It's very complicated, but I'm sure some other people do this.
Some other people do, but not a lot. I don't even look like that. Not that many people have rippling abs like you.
I think for a minute, Aramon is about to address how she looks and stops himself and also turns bright red because he almost said something.
She looks at you as you stop. He's like, you have something to say?
No, nothing.
And you can't tell if she is just jealous that you're being ogled by a bunch of other people or if that you're making a scene and attracting too much attention. Probably both.
We should probably get breakfast.
Probably.
We have a lot of things to do today.
Maybe go bathe first.
Bathing's very important. Hygiene is very high on my list of things to be cognizant of.
It's good. It's probably why you smell so good all the time.
Yep, smelling good is an important thing. Yep. His vocal register is like going higher every time she brings something up to.
Yeah, the funny thing is she didn't say any of this stuff to you with like any kind of hint of like like romantic interest or attraction. It was all just very practical.
Oh yeah, this is Aramon walking through the minefield of his own mind here.
Uh-huh, sure. Yep, absolutely.
I will, once we go inside to get breakfast, though, I'm going to sit down next to Odie and go, I'm sorry, I hope I didn't make the decision for us. I apologize. I should have consulted with you first.
It's okay to occasionally make decisions.
Yes, but...
I didn't care one way or another. I was waiting for the Baroness to tell us which one to do.
And, you know, I'll look at her and make sure no one else is paying too close attention. Odie, you know me. I try to do things for the right reasons, and I think I chose this path because I feel like I have something to prove now.
That's probably true, but either job was important.
Yes.
And this one needs to be dealt with. You also know you, and I know you, and you will still try and do the right thing, so don't... words are hard, Aramon.
What are you two whispering about over there? Emma says from across the table.
Existential crises.
Robin sits down like, what are we existentially crisising about now, Aramon?
Nothing at all. Everything is fine.
Is it better to put raspberries on your porridge or blueberries on your porridge?
It's a matter of personal preference. She puts some blueberries on her porridge and starts eating it. And then she puts some raspberries on top of that and mixes them together.
See, that's the way to do it. So I heard some rumors. I don't know if it means anything. Might be worth investigating. The priest in town isn't as devout as he should be. And I'm saying this just for our little group.
Robin says, Theo?
I don't know his name, but he's supposedly carrying on a relationship.
Well, that is strange. He's a very devout priest of the monarch.
I mean, that's kind of suspicious then. Because either he's not carrying on with a woman and that's the cover for something else that's going on, or he does have feelings for her and that means he has a weakness that could be exploited.
That's fair. I know him. I'll go talk to him. I'll take Emma with me.
I've read storybooks that talk about that.
I don't doubt that. I'm sure that Noelle has plenty of books that are right in that vein of fiction.
Those are actually ones I got from Valentine.
Oh, well, that's surprising, actually. Emma, we're going to go talk to Theo. I know him. It'll be fine. Why don't you two go dig up some more dirt on these Brookshire bandit folks?
I shall grab my shovel.
Where did we get the rumor from that the Brookshires are in the area?
I think that was from Duncan.
Okay. Well, it is the morning and I should go try a cranberry muffin as instructed.
You should. Back to the bakery then. Are you going to go there too, Aramon? Or are you going to go somewhere else?
Yes, I am planning on sticking with Odie.
All right, so you two wander into the bakery. Duncan is there. He's like, oh, good morning. Good to see you again.
Good morning. I was told that I needed to try one of your cranberry muffins if you have any left.
I, in fact, do. He pulls out one of the muffins. They're pretty big.
She holds up the silver pieces she was given.
He takes one of the silver pieces and gives you back 3 copper.
It's like it just makes more.
Yeah, sure. You don't really know how money works that well, do you?
Not really.
He looks over at you, Aramon. He's like, you should probably teach her at some point.
Sometimes when there's more of something, there's less of it.
He laughs. He's like, that's true. It's 100% accurate. But just because sometimes there's less of something doesn't mean it's not valuable.
You need to ask him questions because I can't concentrate right now while I'm smelling this muffin.
Oh my God, it smells so good.
I am happy that we could come back here to make sure that Odie can sample your wares. We've been hearing stories that there were people passing through town that were perhaps being a little cagey about where they came from, that traveling with a retinue. Have you heard anything similar to that?
Well, a persuasion check.
While he's doing that, Odie is breaking off a chunk of the muffin and hands it to her backpack for Monty to have some.
What's this? It smells like cookie plus fruit.
It's a cranberry muffin.
He eats it. Oh my gosh, burn the cookie.
Uh-huh.
That is a 20.
You talk with Duncan for a little while. He comes back to you after you ask a few questions that there's been more activity in the southern part of town when it comes to these bandits. More of the hits are going on the southern road than any other road. That is a clue.
That's the road we came in on?
Nope, you guys came from the east.
Okay.
Is there any place to stay in the southern portion of town that, you know, perhaps people just passing through would be able to lay low at? Like, perhaps an establishment of ill repute.
No establishment of ill repute, but there are a number of houses and farmhouses and things like that going off that southern road.
Odie?
Uh-huh. I'm home.
Do you suppose if we kept an eye on the southern road for a while, stealthily, from off to the side, maybe we could see some activity ourselves?
Well, I also talked to somebody who had ties with these bandits.
I'm not sure what you said. I don't speak Druidic.
Duncan says... Oh, no, that was speaking muffin in your mouth. She said, why don't we go talk to somebody that was attacked by the bandits?
Uh-huh. What happened?
As always, you are wise.
I just know how to make baked goods and listen to people that are eating my baked goods. That's all.
That is a useful skill.
I mean, it's just practice.
I appreciate your time. Do you have just like a warm soft bread that I could pick up?
Absolutely. Here.
And I will slide him a gold piece. And wait for the appropriate number of silver pieces to come back.
Yeah, he gives you a bunch of silver and a couple of copper.
So I go over to Odie and say, all right, so think of these as seeds. If you plant 10 of these seeds, one of them would grow into this gold piece.
That's not how seeds work.
What's your plan? Go find somebody?
Yeah, if we can get the name of somebody around town who was waylaid by bandits, we could go talk to them and get a little more information. I also don't want to go too far away from the church where Emma and Robin are until we get back together.
If we find out who has been attacked, then we should probably meet up with them first before we go talk to them.
You can. You meet back up with Emma and Robin. It seems all pretty on board. Theo is just taken with a woman named Haley Stewart. Apparently they haven't done anything untoward yet, but he is very much taken with her, and they spend a lot of time together, but nothing... that is against his religion, as far as I can tell.
How close is he to the end of his chastity?
He's still got like 2 years.
Eh, that's a long time and not a long time at the same time.
Yeah. Well, her name was Haley Stewart. She's a fisher. She's new in town. Showed up here about 3 months ago.
We found out that most of the attacks have been on the southern road. Maybe their hideout is somewhere along the southern road.
Yeah, that's a good clue. We should maybe go stake it out or something?
Well, we thought we could also talk to somebody who was waylaid by them.
That seems like a good plan, too. Do you have any names?
Yeah, Tristan Jameson.
Well, let's go talk to Tristan. Tristan is a smith.
I'd also like to point out, as soon as Robin said that she wanted to stake this out, Aramon gets very excited that she had the same idea that he did.
Robin looks over to you. Are you okay?
No, I appreciate a good plan that I understand the nuances to.
Fair enough. We'll probably get to that stakeout thing after we talk to Tristan, unless Tristan leads us right to the culprits. I highly doubt that, but it's good to get some more information on them.
Head in the direction of the sound of banging metal on metal.
You go to the blacksmith shop. It is just an anvil with a hammer. That's the sign.
The universal sign for blacksmith.
Look, he's got the anvil and the hammer on there, too. I wonder if the place is called the hammer and anvil.
It is not. It is just the blacksmith shop. That's what people call it, the smiths. People call it Jameson's. It's a family-owned business. Been here for a while. It'd be cool if it was the hammer and the anvil, but, you know, we'll save that for later. You see a trio of men that all look similar, if different ages. One is older with gray hair, cut pretty short. There's a little bit of burn scars here and there. He's got an apron on and some smithing gloves, and he's banging. Ting, ting, boom. Ting, ting, boom. Ting, ting, boom. There's like a rhythm to it. The other two are of a similar age. They're just younger versions of that same man. They all three of them have huge forearms. All three of them are working different things. The one is currently tempering some steel that looks like it's for a plow, probably, part. Another one looks like they're doing some carving on a piece of metal that is a piece of a boat.
Because it's loud, because there's the metal hammer banging on the anvil, Odie's going to walk in and be really, really loud. Hello? Can we talk to Tristan, please?
They all stop at the same time. They look over. And it was like almost a musical rhythm that was going on that just becomes silence. The old man looks over at the one that's in the middle, the oldest son, you're guessing. Tristan, you know this woman?
No.
Never seen her before in my life.
Hi, I'm Odie.
Make it quick, boy. We got work to do. Okay, Pop. He walks over. It's like middling height. I'm not sure how tall you are, Odie.
Odie's not tall.
So he's a little taller than you. He's probably shorter than Aramon. I think Aramon's pretty tall, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's shorter than Aramon. He's like thick, though, and he's got like huge forearms. What can I do for you, ma'am?
We are, she stumbles over her words and then just looks at Aramon.
We have heard that you may have been a victim of an attack of some ne'er-do-wells in the area, and we are trying to help clear the area out of those ne'er-do-wells, so any information you could provide us would be appreciated.
Yeah, I got mugged by the Black Blade Bandits.
Where?
I was bringing a delivery south, and they attacked me, and they didn't really attack me. They just stood around me, and there was way more of them than me and my my brother here, and they took our stuff, and they walked off into the woods with it.
It wasn't very nice of them.
Well, it was either that or get killed, and I prefer to be alive.
Oh, I mean, yes, that's the much preferable choice.
I know it was probably pretty dense, but do you remember the general direction that they went when they moved back into the forest?
How do you want to help them try to remember what happened that day?
I mean,
persuasion could be useful, but you could also try something else if you have a better idea.
I'm kind of thinking insight, because I think he is trying to, like, find the right way to walk him through this as he's talking about it.
Odie, are you trained in insight? If you're trained in a skill, you can assist with a roll like this.
Yes, I am trained in insight.
Yep, so you can assist with this roll.
So I roll, or he's just going to get a bonus?
I think he gets advantage. Or you can have the advantage, whichever one of you has the better bonus. I'm fine either way.
I have a plus 5.
I have a plus 1.
Okay.
But I am trained in it.
So I will roll with advantage. For the love of...
Wow!
That's bad.
Wow! That is an 8 on both dice.
I think you have 2 luck points left, right?
Yeah.
You can spend your 2 luck points to get to a 10.
I will do that. The dice betray me.
I should let you know, if you fail, you still get information. It's just that it'll come with some semblance of a consequence of some sort. So you can not spend if you want.
No, I'm totally willing to spend. I just wanted to re-roll.
Okay. Stuart, do you remember which way they went? His brother, younger brother, looks back. He's like, yeah, they went off to the west. You sure? Yeah, I remember. Remember they grabbed this stuff. One of them went off to the east, but the other ones took the cart and they went off to the west. Plus, when we reported it and the local guard came down here and checked it out, they found our cart off in the west. They had unloaded the stuff and took it somewhere else. Oh, yeah, that's right.
How long ago did this happen?
A week and a half.
As I was trying to help him walk through this, I don't know how useful any of this is because that goes completely over Aramon's head. He just knows more details are good for the other people around him.
Robin is actually sitting in the back, like, noting this stuff down. She actually walks up to you, Odie. That's good. We can probably start there. I bet we can track him from there, even though it's been a while.
That's what I was thinking. I'll find out from Tristan and Stuart specifically where they were waylaid on the road.
You get it. No problem. That is the clue that you actually give us the spot that they got waylaid. Should we go out there?
I think so. Even if the tracks are kind of faded by now, it'll still give us a little bit of a clue. And maybe they're still good enough that we can track them.
Maybe. Plus, don't you have a raccoon that can pick up scents?
Yeah, but he's had his face full of a cranberry muffin this morning, so he might need a little encouragement.
Well, I do have this. She pulls out a piece of leather armor that got cut off of somebody. Maybe we can use this to help track?
Hey, Monty.
Yeah?
You think you can track? Or are you too lazy for muffin?
No, I could do the thing. You keep feeding me good stuff. I need to help.
I mean, we are headed to a city. Do you know how many different foods are supposed to be in the city? If this isn't a city and we've already had this many good foods?
This isn't a city?
This isn't a city.
This place has got so many tall buildings.
I know, but they told me it's not a city.
Okay.
So we need you to smell this and track things.
Okay. We should get away from this place first, though. The smells are clogging my nose. It smells like burning. You head out into the woods. Well, down the path and then into the light brush, I should say. There's woods out here. There's some light forest and whatnot. The hills are rolling. This is by the water. It's pretty moist. You come upon a spot that you're guessing is where the wagon was. It's been removed at that point, but there's like the faded lines of the wagon wheels, and you see some very, very faint boot prints here and there. What are we doing? Is this the spot?
I think this is a spot, and Odie's going to be doing her best to suss out the tracks.
Robin can do some of this too. Between Monty, who can provide advantage with his senses, and Robin, who has a +5 in survival, one of you can roll with advantage for her.
15.
Nice. That's a 20, because +5. Between Monty and Robin, you start following a path. It takes Monty a second to get a catch of the scent, and he goes backwards and forwards and around in a circle a few times. And Robin is following around. He's like, oh yeah, I see. They've been here a few times. They've walked back and forth. Good job. She scratches the raccoon on the back of the head. Monty looks up. He's like, oh, this lady's pretty cool.
She's pretty cool.
When she stops after she's been tracking for a while, I'll mention, remember that time that when people thought there was a bear nearby? And we were following its tracks. This reminds me of that situation. And as soon as he starts talking about that, he stops because of what happened the rest of the day after they went off into the woods tracking the bear.
What happened the rest of the day?
The rest of the day was a very pleasant time between Robin and Aramon.
Oh, Robin's like, oh, I remember that. Emma's like, I don't remember that. Is that a story?
No, we tracked a bear and then there was no bear. And that was the end of the story. And Aramon like turns very abruptly and walks back over to Odie.
You see Robin just smile a little bit. Okay, let's get back to work. Emma's very confused. Emma looks over at you, Odie, is like, what's going on?
I'm not sure. Have you tried the cranberry muffins at Dunkin's?
No, I haven't. Are they good?
They're amazing.
Do you have any?
I have a piece of one left. You want to try it?
Yeah, I want to try it.
Okay, she'll give her like the chunk she had wrapped in a cloth.
She grabs it and she tries it. She's like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's so good.
You know what would be better with it? Just a little bit of butter.
Maybe. I don't like putting butter on my fruit baked goods.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I've successfully distracted her.
Robin and Monty follow these tracks for a good 30 minutes. Eventually, you realize that you're paralleling the road going south, and you come to a farm. And the farm is decent. Like, there are crops growing. You see, there are pumpkins, there's wheat. There's a farmhouse. It is slightly disheveled, not in the best shape ever. But there are, you notice this once Robin points it out and Monty points it out to you, there is a lot more footprints here than what would indicate is needed for this particular farm.
Start scoping things out.
Who wants to scope and how do they want to scope? I don't know who's very stealthy.
I am not very stealthy, but I was thinking of scurrying up as high up in a tree as I can get so that I have a higher vantage point.
Sure, that seems reasonable.
Yeah, my athletics is +5, so if you want
to... I don't need the check to see if you climb in a tree. I needed the check to see that you don't attract attention climbing to the tree.
Okay.
That's the stakes.
Gotcha. That is a 23.
Good roll. You just hop up into that tree, no problem. Make very little sound getting up there, too. Looking down at this farm, there is a farm building, there is a barn. You don't see anybody right now wandering around, although you're pretty sure you glimpsed somebody walking by one of the windows. They weren't looking out of it, they just walked by it. What are you doing, Odie?
I would like to cast Bloodhound on myself.
Okay.
Bloodhound, it gives me the sense of smell of a bloodhound, and what I would specifically like to do is use this sense of smell to get a feel for how many people might be here on the farm. Like, how many different scents?
Why don't you give me a perception check? I will tell you that anyway, but I will tell you more stuff if you roll well.
Okay, because of Bloodhound, I get to roll this at advantage.
Go ahead.
I got a 21.
Nice roll. There are a dozen scents on the farm. You know that four of them are in the barn and eight of them are in the house. There is also the scent of blood and metal. Also the scent that somebody was bleeding and was dragged into the house. With that 21, though, also even more information. This is a two-story farmhouse. There's a scent of older blood that got dragged into the house. That blood is still fresh on the second floor.
Does it smell of death at all?
No.
This might be a little much, but if somebody was hurt and they didn't take care of it properly, there might be infection.
If you rolled a 25, I'd tell you that.
I did not roll a 25.
There's definitely a wounded person on the second floor, though.
Looking to Robin and Emma, I'm going to hold up four fingers, point towards the barn, and then four fingers twice towards the house.
They both nod. You see Robin's already creeping towards the house with Emma behind her. They're using cover and whatnot as they're getting up towards the house.
I will look up towards Aramon. Come on down.
Aramon, for a brief moment, you can see him mouthing 4, 5, 7, 8. Then he slides back down the tree.
You guys can creep up to where Robin and Emma are.
Yeah.
Okay, Robin says, what's the plan? We could just go into the house and start taking people out quietly. We could go take out the four in the barn. By the way, good job figuring that out, Odie.
Worry that they have some innocence, and I do not want them to come to harm if we're too rash in the approach we take.
I'm not used to working with a team, just so you know. I'm used to working in pairs, so there's four of us, so I'm open to suggestions.
There's at least one wounded person on the second floor. There might be two wounded people.
Wounded? Like wounded how? How do you know that?
I could smell the blood.
Is it one of theirs? Is it somebody that was taken?
I can't tell who they are from that unless I already know them.
Aramon, go climb in that tree and see if you can't look inside.
So I find a tree closer to the house and start scurrying up the tree. Would you like another roll?
No, I'll let you keep your 23.
Okay.
You climb up the tree. You find a vantage point to look in the window. There is somebody tied to a chair that's bleeding from a wound that's been tied up, but it's still bleeding a little bit on their arm.
Unfortunately, this is Aramon's thought process. How far is the tree from being able to jump onto the roof on the second floor?
I mean, if you make an athletics check of DC 17, you could make it. And you could jump right through the window then.
He's not being smart about this, but he's not being that unsmart. Like, I just want to jump over and then maybe pry the window open.
You want to jump onto the roof, which would make a bunch of noise anyway.
Yeah. Sure? But see, glass makes a different noise, and that's different to him.
That's true.
I mean, either way, that'll get this party started.
Unless you roll lower than a 10, you're going to hit the roof anyway and hold on to the side of it. Just one of them, you're in control. The other one, you're hanging off the edge.
All right, so I find a good solid branch, and I brace myself and jump off, and that is a 20 on the athletics check.
So the three of you are sitting there on the ground, Odie, looking up at Aramon, and then all of a sudden you see Aramon, like, step out onto a branch, and then you see him backing up a little bit, and you're like, uh-oh.
I'm picturing down on the ground the three women, with Odie standing between Robin and Emma and being the shorter, and all three of them just their heads tracking as Aramon jumps from the tree to the house.
And then there's a large thump as he lands on the roof over there.
A 200 plus pound man wearing chainmail hitting the side of a wooden building.
You cleared it. Like, you landed on the roof.
I think that's going to draw some attention.
It's going to draw attention. You actually hear people like, what was that? And people like shuffle from inside the building. What do you do, Odie? You see Emma and Robin. Robin, like, starts moving.
Is there one door to come out or multiple doors?
There are two. There's a front door, and then there is a side door.
Whichever door that Robin looks like she's heading towards, I'm going to move to the other one and cast Entangle to try and block passage through that door.
All right, so she's going to the side door. You're going to cast Entangle on the front door.
Yep.
All right, so vines start springing up out in front of that door out there.
And that is all of my first level spells for the day. As I only have two.
Robin moves to the back door with Emma. She looks at Emma. We talked about this on three. 1, 2. And then she kicks the door open and Emma turns and looks inside of it like they're clearing it, looking for somebody to shoot. She fires an arrow. She misses with a 12. Let's roll for initiative. Aramon, you're first. What do you want to do?
I am on the roof. I am looking through the window. I want to see, since I made lots of noise, I need to see if this person is okay. So I will be going through the window if it looks like they're still bleeding?
They're bleeding from the arm. They look like they've been beat up pretty good, like their face is bruised. They're in pretty good shape, aside from being beat up a lot.
I am still going to dramatically crash through the window.
You dramatically crash through the window. Now what?
All right, I am in there, and I will look over to them and say, are you all right?
He rouses, and then he looks down after you say, are you all right? He's like, do I look all right? I'm tied to a chair, and they beat the shit out of me.
All right, those are good points. I will go over and...
There's at least 11 of them. Be careful.
All right. And I will clumsily probably use the longsword to try and cut the ropes because I, of course, don't carry a utilitarian knife because I'm not that kind of person.
Sure, you do. You cut the ropes and he is free. He doesn't have a weapon. He's not wearing any armor. He rubs his wrists. He takes the chair and smashes it onto the ground real quick, and then he has a club. It is Emma's turn. Who wants to be in charge of Emma? I don't want to be in charge of Emma.
So I'll take Emma.
Cool. Jared, you can be in charge of Robin. That sounds good. It is Emma's turn. What would you like Emma to do?
Do we have anybody coming out of the house?
When you guys open the door, you can see there's a person that shot a crossbow bolt at the door down there. Didn't hit anybody. That's what started initiative.
Okay. Emma is young and a little reckless. Is this true?
Yeah, that's very true.
Then I think Emma would charge in and attack.
Give me a d20 roll.
9 plus whatever she adds.
4, which is 13. Strange enough, that actually hits. They only have a 13 armor class, so.
Excellent.
She does a d8 plus 2 damage.
So 9 points of damage.
Oh, that guy dies. She runs him right through. Aramon, you hear a bunch of noise as doors are opening, and then the door right by you opens.
I am prepared for whatever comes through.
There are 3 bad guys in the hallway. They look like bandits. They have leathers on. They're wearing kind of shoddy clothing. They each have like a black dagger and a short blade. The one guy has a crossbow. I was like, who the hell are you? Who cares? Kill him.
I'm here to bring you to justice.
I am here to bring you to justice as a crossbow bolt slams into your chest. Wow, that's terrible. You take 8 points of damage.
All right.
That's not good.
No, that wasn't good.
That's all right. I still have a whole 4 hit points.
The other guy runs in there with his sword and swings it at you. His little short blade. That's a 14.
I get snarled in my chainmail.
Very good. He totally misses you with that one. Is it snarls in your chainmail, like you said? You hear that there is another person running around in the building. You're not sure where they are, though, but there's more footsteps. Robin's up.
I think what Robin would do is go up to her page and then swing around, probably doing that whole military thing where one person clears something, the other person comes up behind him and covers them. So she will swing out and then take a swing at this person here. That is a 14 plus 4, so that is an 18 to hit.
That is a hit.
Going to be 4, 5, 6 damage from the longsword.
That will take him down, whether she kills him or not. He is no longer part of the fight.
I think in Robin's case, she probably would.
Swings around, Emma runs him right through. Robin hears from up the stairs somebody say, there's some downstairs. Go help Jordy and Mick. And then Robin sees from the top of the stairs a guy there and another guy. One of them has a crossbow, shoots. Does not hit Robin. I rolled a 7. That was terrible. But that's as far as they can get as things are going on. Other bad guys. See the entanglement spell here. Like, what the hell is this? Burn it down! You, run around to the back door. We'll try to get rid of this thing. Why are they moving? Is it magic? It's gotta be magic. Odie, you're up.
I would like to use druidcraft for something a little outside of the description of the cantrip.
Sure.
I would like it to not create howling winds, because that would be a higher level spell. Create the sounds of howling winds to basically try and scare or make these bandits all a little off kilter.
The ones inside the building or the ones outside the building?
Yes.
Everybody?
Yeah, basically enough noise that it makes, you know, like, oh crap, what's happening?
So you want to intimidate everybody?
Yeah.
Well, do you have a skill that you think would work with this? If not, it's just going to be wisdom. Are you trained in Arcana?
I am trained in Arcana.
I will let you roll Arcana with wisdom, so you can use your proficiency bonus with your wisdom for this particular thing, for what you're doing.
Okay. So it's an 8.
It is an opposed roll versus their wisdom saving throw. They all have terrible wisdoms. There are 3 different groups. I'm just going to roll a die for each group. I got an 8, a 9, and an 11, so sorry. I rolled bad, but you just didn't roll any better, that's all.
Yeah. Well, it was a nice idea.
It would have given them all disadvantage on anything that they do for the next turn, too.
Odie is out there, and she's like, oh, God, I don't know what's going on with Aramon. He's up there, and I can hear fighting, and Robin and Emma just ran inside, and I can hear fighting, and I can hear people over there. I need to do something. And she reaches out to call on the spirits of nature, and she's, like, doing all of these things that she's seen her mentor do, and the effect is a whistle of wind through the trees instead of the roar of the wind that she was hoping for.
On the bright side, because every single one of them succeeded against what you were trying to do, you get a point of luck. Because that's how that works. If you miss or everybody saves against you, you get a point of luck. That's how I play it.
Oh, and I'm going to move inside the building.
It's probably a good idea.
I don't want to be out here alone when they come around the building.
Ahriman, you're up. Do you want Guy that's with you to go before you, or do you want to go?
Let's have him go. I don't know that Ahriman would want him to go, but I think, you know, let's have him go.
He's going to go. He's going to do stuff.
Yeah.
You, get over here. And he, like, takes a step forward and clubs this guy in the head. Oh, I rolled, like, terrible. He actually gets two attacks, though. He's a much higher level than you guys. I still missed. He rolled a 4 and a 5. That was bad.
Wow.
I mean, he's been beat up. He's off his game. It's understandable.
Yeah, he takes a step, and you see, like, his ankle has been messed up pretty bad. Like, they hit him, like, in the shin or the ankle with, like, a clubs or whatever. And he, like, takes a step, and he, like, stumbles a little bit. And he, like, misses pretty bad. Ahriman, you're up.
All right, so the guy that came at me with the short sword that got snarled in my chainmail, I'm going to lock my arm down over his arm, pull him forward, and just pommel strike him on top of the head. Which is basically just me attacking with a longsword. I just wanted to describe it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. That is perfectly fine. You will do your longsword damage.
And that is a 13.
Yeah, they have AC 13, so that hits.
All right. And that is 11 damage.
You could tell me how you knock him unconscious with your pommel strike.
Is he wearing a helmet of any kind?
He's wearing like a leather hat, like one of those caps.
I think the pommel hits him like right behind the ear, pops him unconscious. And then I'll pull him to the side and drop him.
It's like, Rolf, whoa, no. The guy behind him. Anything else?
Unfortunately, the only other thing I would like to do takes an action, so I'm just going to be here ready to take on the next one.
Do you want to step to the side of the door to give yourself cover so that they can't just shoot at you?
Yes, that would be a good idea because there is the crossbow guy.
I assume Ahriman would know to do that.
Yes.
He'd probably also tell the injured guy to do the same.
Yeah, he actually does. Like he tries to climb and then he steps to the other side. So you guys are like standing to the sides of the door fighting the guy that's in the doorway. It is Emma's turn.
Emma is going to round the corner and attack the one at the bottom of the stairs.
Actually, on the stairs. They're fighting on the stairs. This is fun. The staircase is actually pretty narrow, so she has disadvantage on this roll.
It doesn't matter. She rolled a 1.
Oh, she rolled a 1, huh? I don't do, like, weird stuff for ones in my games, because it's always worse for the player characters than it is for the bad guys, because bad guys don't last that long, so she just misses.
She is probably very embarrassed to have done that much of a mistake in front of Robin.
So this guy stabs at the injured guy, the guy that's pretty beat up, and he actually rolled a 18, so he hits him. He does 4 points of damage, which he looks really hurt again. Like he's about to collapse once again, like starts bleeding. His ankle's all messed up. You can see his face, like it's swollen. He's probably having a hard time seeing out of one of his eyes.
I really want to heal him, but I really don't want to give them the chance to keep beating on us.
This guy actually comes through the door. You and the guy get opportunity attacks against him.
That is a 17.
Yeah, it hits.
As soon as I realize he's coming through, I turn it sideways and like clothesline him as he's coming through the door. And that is 6 points of damage.
You clothesline him, he goes up and then just down onto the ground as he tries to like slide by.
I've had that happen in games of Red Rover when I was a child.
The guy that's in the back, he is going to try to shoot at you too, but you guys have the +5 version of cover. He's going to shoot at you, Ahriman. I got a 10 that probably doesn't hit you. You have like a 20 armor class right now.
Yeah.
The crossbow bullet like lodges into the wall, pokes through a little bit because these aren't very like thick walls. Robin, you're up.
Robin, and I know this will probably be with disadvantage, but Robin is going to go in there and tell Emma to drop, and she is going to drop her longsword and take her bow and shoot up the stairs at the one in front of Emma.
This is not disadvantage. Your people don't give you disadvantage for being actually, because they're in a narrow space and they can't dodge as well. It's probably advantage for shooting up that staircase.
I'm just picturing this as kind of like all the stuff that they might have been practicing. So he shoots over her.
She drops. Nice roll.
23 to hit.
That is a strike.
And that's only 3 points of damage, unfortunately.
That's still enough to take them out. They don't have very many hit points. They have 3 hit points. So he drops as you shoot him right in the shoulder, and he just goes down. He can't handle the pain. He's like, oh, God. Oh, God. She shot me. This guy steps forward to try and take down Emma. Swings his short sword at her. I only got a 12. I don't think that hits Emma. She has a 14 armor class, so she's fine. Odie, this guy gets into the doorway, but he can't do anything. But you see him. He's like, you! Is it you? Did you? You? Who are you? Stop with the thing. And these guys are trying to make their way through the entanglement. What do I got to roll?
Believe it is a dex save versus spell save DC 13.
One of them passed, one of them failed. So one of them stuck.
Yep, one of them is stuck. The other one is, I think it still counts as difficult terrain, but he can trudge through it.
Yeah, he trudges through. He gets to the door. He tries to open the door, but the door is also entangled by your roots and things like that. He did roll a 14 to open it. So he does manage to pop the door open, because I think you said your save was 13.
Yes.
Yeah, so he manages to open the door, but there's still some of the entangling vines, so he can't get all the way in. He's only partially into the building now, but still in the slowing effect of the entanglement spell. Odie, it's your turn. There's a guy behind you in the doorway being like, "You!
I'm going to shut the door."
Okay.
I just reach out, put a hand on the door, slam it shut.
What else?
Then I'm going to run over to where Robin is and then step past her and look over here to see what's here.
Yeah, there's that guy. He's like at the edge of the entangling. You see the doors up. Who are you? What are you doing here? Why are these vines moving around?
Can I reach him?
Probably not if you shut that door.
Okay. Odie would stand right there. She doesn't think about things like crossbows yet.
No range cantrip?
No.
Okay.
I got two.
Do you want to step out of the way of the doorway?
Well, that's why I'm saying she's not going to, because she doesn't think of these things yet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's fine. Because you did that, left yourself vulnerable, you can have another point of luck.
Why, thank you.
Aramon, you're up.
The guy that's in the doorway, I'm stealing myself to run him through.
Okay.
That is a 13 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
That is 8 slashing damage.
You have successfully run him through. Whether you kill him or not is your choice.
I feel like I ran him through. It went through him, but I didn't like turn it and cut anything. I didn't try and sever his spine or anything. I just kind of kick him off the end of the blade. And I would like to move up to this one so that he can't get past me and go after my injured friend here.
Well, your injured friend is running forward to try to beat on this guy too.
Stop it! I'm trying to save you. You're making it worse.
Okay, fine. I'll just stay back here. He goes to get past you. You're like, no, back. And you're like, all right, fine. He just stays in the room. He realizes like he's very hurt and like not very effective. Emma's up.
Emma will try again with the guy in front of her.
Pops up from ducking down after she blocked the strike from the guy.
That's better. She got a 17.
Yeah, the hits. So I rolled a d20 to see if she thought about what you had told her about but being bloodthirsty or not, and I rolled a 6 plus her wisdom, which is like a 6. So she's like, ah, and she just like slams the blade into the guy's chest and like slams him into the wall and then pulls the sword out and watches him sink to the ground dead.
If this were a video game, her face would now be covered with blood.
That is true. Then she continues up the stairs. Aramon, this guy, it's his turn. He looks around, he sees Emma behind him. He sees there's dead people, there's like unconscious people everywhere.
If I can see Emma coming up the stairs, I'm going to look at him and say, you have a better chance with me than you do with her.
He actually disengages from you, runs through the door that's there, and then jumps out the window.
Into the entangle?
Yeah, he doesn't know there's an entangle out there. He has no idea. He's just trying to get away. He only takes 1 point of damage on the way down, which is what he was hoping for. But he lands in the entangle. I have to roll for the, what's a dex save, right?
Yep.
The nice, cushy, thrashing bit of vines.
Yeah, man, he's entangled in the vines. He, like, lands and they just, like, start lashing around him. Robin, you're up.
I think Robin, would she have heard this person here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so she is going to roll across this entryway.
I imagine she probably shoves Odie out of the way, too, because she's, like, standing in the line of fire.
That's basically what I was thinking. She's going to, like, roll across this entryway, kind of have cover here, you know, pull Odie to the side as she goes past her.
Odie, do you allow yourself to be pulled out of the way?
Oh, yeah.
And then she's going to peek out and take a shot from around the corner.
Sure thing.
That is a 16.
Yeah, that hits.
4 points of damage.
She takes him down. Oh, this guy opens the door. Because, you know, it doesn't lock.
No, like, no.
The door runs and he's like, what the? You! And he throws a dagger at Robin. He does not hit Robin. Rolled terrible. I got a 9. This guy out here is going to try to break the entangle with his action, which is a strength check. I don't think a 12 gets out.
Nope. The 13.
He's still restrained. That's their turn. Odie, you're up.
Odie is going to move past Robin. As she does, she's shouting an incantation that imbues her staff with this glowing green light, with this flicker of vines and leaves and all that. Basically, she casts Shillelagh.
Sure.
And then she is going to hit him.
Yeah, she is.
6 bludgeoning damage.
He is either dead or unconscious, your choice.
I would think since this is her hitting him on the head with a stick, he's just unconscious.
Okay. He goes down. He's like, oh! Aramon, you're up.
I would like to enter the room that that person just charged through, and I think I would like to go up to the window. I am going to take my hand axe and wing it at... I'm specifically probably going to throw it at the guy that jumped, just because, you know, I need to follow through on this.
Yeah, that's fine.
That is a 13 with the hand axe.
They're restrained, by the way, so you have advantage. That hits anyway, so...
Yeah, and that is 7 slashing damage to him.
You could always do the advantage roll to see if you crit.
He's already deep done. I mean, the critting doesn't make it any more effective. As much fun as it is, right? Like, I got crit him! So you huck a hand axe at him. Where do you hit him? Do you kill him or do you just take him out?
I think since I threw it, I don't have that precision to not do it. So I think I wince a little, but it hits him like right in the forehead.
Oh, he just goes down. There's just blood everywhere. The guy next to me is like, oh my God, Bobby, why? Why? What happened? Where are these people coming from? Oh, it's Emma's turn.
Emma's probably going to follow after Aramon because she thinks he's running where there are bad guys to kill.
Emma sees this one last guy stuck in the vines, like trying to get out.
You could ask him to surrender.
We could, or we could kill him. They are bandits.
But they are also human beings.
Yeah, Odie did tell me I shouldn't kill everybody. That's fine. I won't kill him. We could probably just stop him. What's Robin going
to
do?
Robin doesn't know how many people are still alive, and we probably do want to talk to them. But I think she's going to call for him to surrender, but I think she's going to make her point by like shooting an arrow right into the thrashing vines right between his legs.
Yeah, he surrenders. I don't want... No, we're good. We're good. Everybody's hurt. It looks like everybody's... Anybody? Nothing comes back. Yeah, I'm good. We're good. No more. The fight is over. You have a number of captives. Some of them are dead. Some of them are just very, very beat up.
I am going to go over to the one that I ran through that I didn't finish off. And if he is still alive, I'm going to spend a tiny point of lay on hands just to close the wound up to make sure he doesn't keep bleeding.
Sure. What do you want to do now? Robin's like, we should probably round up the ones that are alive and maybe question them.
Where's Aramon? Aramon?
Hello? I'm up here.
Are you okay up there?
I'm fine. I have a new friend.
Is he okay?
He will be.
No.
This was Chapter 3 of The Heroes of Havel's Way, The Black Blades. Angela Murray played Odie. Jared Rasher played Aramon. Christopher Snezak played everyone and everything else. Music and sound effects were from Storyblocks and Envato. We look forward to bringing you more of this actual play series. If you'd like to interact with us, you can check out our Discord server. There is a link in our show notes. You can also help by becoming a patron. Each episode, I'll be giving a DM commentary on the choices I make called Chris's Hovel. I'll be talking about the game, plus I'll probably be talking a little bit about the editing and sound design if you're interested in that. Also, there are at least bi-weekly PDF content releases. You can get that at patreon.com/THAC0WA. That's patreon.com/Thakowa. You can check it out with a free 7-day membership and stick around if you want for $5 a month. This helps us make this show and Thaka with Advantage, the fantasy-focused RPG advice show Ange and Jared host. Speaking of patrons, I'd just like to say thank you to Doug, Victor, and the Polish Ogre for being our patrons. We appreciate you. I wanted to say thank you for helping us make this and other shows. Finally, we're part of the Polygamerus Podcast Network, where we want to help you play your best games. If you enjoyed The Heroes of Havel's Way, you might want to check out MM Play Season of Children of the Shroud. That's our high school urban fantasy game. The whole series is currently out and is edited very much like this one. With that, I'd like to say thank you for listening. And if you have a raccoon, it's always good to send them out on spy missions for you.